Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word that we consider this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and we read verses 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Dear fellow redeemed, if you have ever been in a cow pasture, you know the importance of watching where you are going. You don't want to step in the manure. That wouldn't be a wise thing to do. In our text, God tells us to walk wisely in this world. And like the pasture, there are many things in this world that we should avoid. So we are to walk carefully, and God also tells us here that we are to walk worshipfully. Verse 15 tells us, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is maybe a big fancy word, but it literally means looking around. So we are told here to watch where we're going, to look where we're going, and walk carefully. And that is the wise thing to do. Now, walking in a pasture and stepping in something may not seem to be a very serious matter, and it really isn't. But imagine that instead of this cow pasture, you are walking in a minefield. That really changes the picture, doesn't it? How careful would you be then? Well, a minefield is really a better picture for our life here on earth, of the dangers that we face and the seriousness of our sin. But how often do you view your missteps as merely stepping in a cow pie? Something that may make you smell a bit, but something that doesn't really do any harm, something that you can just wash off and it's not a problem. But our sins do hurt us and do hurt others. They offend God. They grieve the Holy Spirit. The dangers that we face are deadly, like a landmine, because, as verse 16 tells us, the days are evil. But unlike a real-world landmine, our sins don't go off right away. We may stumble over them a bit, we may have some consequences, but they don't immediately bring death. It's as if the landmine just starts ticking and is collected and stored away for the day of judgment. We read in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, because of your hard and impenitent hearts, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. When we look at our hearts because of our sinful nature, we are often impenitent. We often have hardened hearts. So, how many landmines have you stepped on in your life? How many will be waiting for you on that day? Even one will kill you. But the good news is that your store of landmines have been carried away to the cross of Christ, and they have been detonated there, with Jesus not bearing just the brunt of the explosion, but all of it, for you in your place. His death has paid for all of your sins, to take all of your sins away. So your store of landmines is gone. But you won't find an empty room on the last day. Instead, the storeroom that will be waiting for you will be filled with Christ's righteousness, his righteous perfect life, and his perfect walk. It will be filled with his righteousness that you can claim as your own. A few verses before our sermon text, in verse 8, Paul describes it this way: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Because you have been made alive, because you are now a child of light, you can walk wisely in the world. You can walk carefully. You can walk circumspectly. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can see where we are going." In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses a different picture of our walk in this life. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that which leads to life, and there are few who find it." One way that we walk circumspectly or carefully is to make sure that we are on this narrow way of salvation by grace through faith apart from works. 2 Corinthians tells us, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." So watch to make sure you don't veer off course and begin to think, "I'm pretty good. God will let me into heaven because I haven't done anything really bad." But the truth is, you have sinned. And you deserve death and only God's punishment. But God has given you the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Watch also to make sure you don't veer off on the other side and to think that you're a lost cause, that things are hopeless, that you are beyond hope. No matter what you have done, no matter how many landmines that you have stepped on, Jesus has taken away all of your sins. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You are forgiven and have a place in heaven. Because God so loved you and gave his only begotten Son for you to die in your place, walk in a way that pleases him. Walk in a way that is according to his will. And we see some things in our sermon text that tell us what God's will is. In verse 18 we're told, "Do not be drunk with wine." A drunk person often has trouble even walking, much less walking carefully. But notice, instead of being drunk, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of alcohol influencing and controlling our actions, the Holy Spirit is to be the one that is influencing and controlling our walk. Being drunk leads to dissipation, to doing things that God does not want us to do. But we see in verse 19 what being filled with the Holy Spirit leads us to do, where it says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Spirit leads us to walk worshipfully. Now, why is this important? Well, when it says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns, we're also speaking to ourselves. And that's what the end of verse 19 talks about, where we are to make melody and sing to God in our hearts. Hymns and songs that we sing are based on God's word. And words that are set to music are often easier to remember. So the hymns that we sing and the songs that we sing can help us remember God's word and God's message for us. Help us remember God's word that is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet, so that we can see where we're going, so that we can walk wisely. It's God's word that the Spirit uses to comfort and encourage and lead us to walk in a way that is according to God's will. But verse 19 also talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. It's talking about encouraging one another to walk wisely. We do not walk alone on this narrow, difficult path. We don't walk alone through this minefield of this life. We walk with our fellow believers. We walk as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's God's will that we encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How do we do that? Well, Hebrews 10 goes on and explains, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we are to gather together and encourage one another, to worship together. When we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are encouraging one another, not only ourselves. You may think that your church attendance only affects you or you and your family, but it goes way beyond that. Your mere presence here is an encouragement to the others that are here as well. We are to build one another up. God tells us that we are the body of Christ. When one member suffers, all members suffer. When one member is honored, all members rejoice. And that is what our sermon text talks about in verse 21, when it refers to us submitting to one another in the fear of God. We are to think of one another. We are to think of others before we think of ourselves and seek to help and encourage them. In verse 16, we're told to redeem the time, to make the best use of our short time here on earth, to use the opportunities that God gives us, because the days are evil. This refers not only to the opportunities that God gives us to do good, to share His word with outsiders, but to use the opportunities that He gives us to hear His word and to encourage one another by worshiping together. You cannot walk wisely or carefully in your own wisdom or in your own strength. You need the armor of God to stand in the evil day. You need God's Spirit to lead you and guide you. You need God's Word to guide you. And you need the encouragement of your fellow believers and the opportunity to encourage them. If you look at the majority of our hymns and the Psalms in the Old Testament, what are they? They're prayers. So to walk worshipfully is also to walk prayerfully. We depend on God not only for the desire and motivation to walk, but also the ability to walk as He wants us to walk. We're to walk wisely, not as fools, but as wise. But where do we get wisdom? James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God tells us to pray for the wisdom that we need to walk wisely. As we've seen, we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Again, we're told to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, something we need in order to walk wisely. Just as you do not walk alone because you're walking with your fellow believers, you also don't walk alone because Jesus promised to be with you always, even to the end of the age. So you can turn to Jesus anytime in prayer and find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Another thing we see here in verse 20 is that walking worshipfully also means walking thankfully. But do you give thanks always for everything? I know I don't. Jesus said that the path that leads to life is a difficult one, and sometimes it's hard to be thankful for the way things are going in your life. And when you fail to be thankful, know that God and Jesus forgives you for that as well. But walking prayerfully can help you to walk thankfully. God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we aren't to be anxious, but to commit everything that concerns us, that worries us, to God. Bring it to Him in prayer. God wants you to cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. You can thank God even when things don't seem to be going well, when you face difficulties, because we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And the hymns and the songs that we sing remind us of that fact and of all these facts that we have been discussing. Remind us what God's Word tells us. It can be challenging to walk wisely in the world, filled with the dangers and evils that we face. But it isn't our wisdom with which we walk, but it's the wisdom that comes from God. So walk carefully in Christ, who is your salvation, and walk worshipfully, encouraging one another with the encouragement that you receive from God's Word. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.